Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. It is B&E on a Wednesday. A turn the page, get you over the hump Wednesday. 30 degrees in Austin, Texas right now. Clear conditions here in West Austin at our Horn headquarters on the banks of 360. Beautiful morning. Going to be a beautiful day today. Warming up even more than yesterday. Barely got out of the 50 or into the 50s yesterday. Today we'll climb into the low 60s. Tomorrow into the 70s. And any hint of snow as we received on Sunday is in the rearview mirror. But beautiful January day in Austin, Texas. And it's going to be a fun show. We got a lot to do over the next 4 hours, obviously. Longhorns fans out there were introduced to their new head football coach yesterday, or he introduced himself to them. Coach Steve Sarkisian takes over as a 31st program, head coach of the football program. What's your thoughts on what you heard yesterday? We'll play some a lot of the comments and the audio from the new head coach at Texas. Obviously, there's an excitement with a new product, a new toy, something you got, a new coach who just, you know, looked pretty shiny and bright on Monday night with the national championship game with Alabama, detonating Ohio State. Longhorns already picked up their first recruiting commitment based on that. Coach Sark, kid from the state of Texas, we'll talk about that. But obviously, the expectations will be high. But Longhorn fans, 12 years since their last conference championship, hoping this is the correct hire for the Longhorns. We'll talk about it with you. Also, as we say, turn the page, start looking forward to NFL divisional playoff weekend. Instead of 2 days and six games, three each day this week, two days and four games with two big divisional playoff games each day, Saturday and Sunday. We'll begin to preview the Final Four in the AFC, the Final Four in the NFC of the National Football League. There's college hoops with James Harden not happy down in Houston, of course. There's also college basketball news to dive into with a lot out there. So plenty to do. 4 hours, probably not enough as usual, but that's why we're here on the Horn live and local. We go all day, every day, live, local, and digital right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on that Horn app and at hornfm.com. This is normally I would say Mr. Godbolt, but Bucky is in commute right now. He's headed to drop his wife off at the airport doing the shuttle service this morning. So Isaiah Collier, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, E. How you doing?
Doing good. We'll say hi to the men and women at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, and all our military installations throughout the country and around the world doing their part to allow us to do our part here and do what we do. Yeah, Bucky on a trip to the airport to do an airport run. He'll be with us, of course, most of the show. Join us at some point in the 7 o'clock hour. But if Buck's up and listening on his way to the airport, good morning, Mr. Godbolt and Mrs. Safe travels. And we'll talk to you here coming up this morning. But a lot to do. You know, immediately after the Steve Sarkisian news conference yesterday, Coach Sark sat down with Craig Way. We'll hear that interview here coming up, the exclusive interview on the Horn yesterday, the first sit down with the new head coach, who I'll just say before we get to the headlines and hear from Coach Sark a little bit, you know, listening and watching the whole thing yesterday. What you expect, right? There's some rah-rah stuff, but I do think Steve Sarkisian came off as a very authentic guy. I think his theme was authentic. I think that's a word he used a lot throughout that, whether it's authentic relationships, being an authentic person, you know, leading the program with authenticity is something that that is going to be important. And I think, you know, he's a genuine guy. You know, he even admitted on occasion, you'll hear it coming up, you know, when he took over the job at Washington at 32 years old, he talked about, how did I even do that? How did I even make that happen? I think of myself at 46 now, and I think we all can do that. Look back on where we were and where we are, and man, how did I even handle being a head coach at Washington at that young age? Didn't do a bad job at Washington. He got that program from 0-12 into four straight bowls and then off to USC. And then we know about the personal struggles that he had with you know, addiction to alcohol. He talked about that being a daily battle for him, and you'll hear that coming up in the conversation with Craig Way. But and we'll hear from Coach Sark throughout the morning. What's your thoughts, though? It's the show of the people, of course. Our opinions and yours. What say you on the hiring of the new head coach at Texas? We will certainly assess the good and the bad and the concerns, which always come with change and the new hire. But let's start with the headlines, trending topics, plenty of news on a Wednesday morning. Sinus and snoring specialists bring you the news this morning. That's a new one. Start with the news. Yes, Steve Sarkisian arrived in Austin yesterday and named the new head football coach at Texas, fresh off winning that national championship with Alabama on Monday night. In the introductory news conference, heard live here on the Horn yesterday afternoon, the 46-year-old, who goes simply by Coach Sark, said he's humbled by the opportunity to take over one of the marquee programs in America, insists the bar will be set high and the work will begin immediately.
I'm honored. I'm humbled. To be the head football coach here. Our job is now to align the donors, the alumni, the ex-players, the current players, the recruits, and pushing everybody in the same direction to go achieve the greatness that we want to achieve. To Longhorn Nation, it's time to go to work. And clearly, you guys have probably seen my mantra. This work will be all gas and no brakes. We will go to it full-fledged. We will lay down on the hammer and go get it. But at the end of the day, to put on the burnt orange and white and to represent this great university and the great state of Texas is one I don't take lightly, and we will go for it to the highest level. Hook 'em.
There it is. Steve Sarkisian also said yesterday, immediate priorities to assemble his coaching staff, obviously evaluate the current roster and then hit the recruiting trail. But before Coach Sark even uttered a word yesterday at the press conference, he received the first major recruiting get when Louisville, Texas wide receiver Armani Winfield made his commitment to Texas official. He chose the Longhorns over offers from Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Texas A&M. Junior, one of the recruits from the class of 2022 that Sarkisian spoke to on the phone ahead of Monday night's national championship game. Some suggest he was a commit by halftime. Winfield cited his relationship with current Texas wide receivers coach Andre Coleman, who appears will be remaining on the staff with Coach Sark. He, along with running backs coach Stan Drayton, Horns 24/7 Sports reporting this morning that current defensive coordinator Chris Ash and defensive line coach Oscar Giles will meet with Coach Sark this week to determine if there's a fit moving forward. In the NFL, head coaching and assistant coaching news, we told you yesterday, but was made official yesterday. Former Atlanta Falcons head coach Dan Quinn will join Mike McCarthy's staff in Dallas as the defensive coordinator. Houston Texans have officially requested an interview with Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy for its vacant head coaching position, but we'll have to wait until after the Chiefs season is over to do so. Pete Carroll and the Seahawks moving on from their offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer, and Bears defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano has retired. College hoops last night, big upset in the Big 12. Oklahoma State took down sixth-ranked Kansas, 75-70 in Stillwater. Cowboys finished the game on an 8-0 run. Cade Cunningham, the freshman, led the way with 18. Last night's game with West Virginia and Baylor in Waco postponed because of COVID issues at West Virginia. That is the eighth game already this season that the second-ranked Baylor Bears have had to either postpone or cancel due to COVID-19. Also in the NBA, Spurs top Oklahoma City, 112-100. Rockets get rolled again by the Lakers, 117-100.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, there we go. Plenty to do. And here's a text that says, where can I listen to Coach Sark and the press conference? That's all at our website, hornfm.com. We've got the entire press conference. We will hear Coach Sark with Craig Way here coming up in this segment. So if you missed that, sit down immediately following the press conference. We'll have it for you. The voice of the Longhorns introducing himself and then interviewing the new head coach for the first time. Good radio yesterday, good conversation. But our website, as we say, live, local, and digital, hornfm.com, your spot for all of that Steve Sarkisian coverage. But a lot in there. We'll dive in head first. Isaiah Collier, your thoughts on your immediate reaction. We had gotten to hear from Coach Sarkisian, 10 days or so ago on a Saturday in a Zoom call, so we had some audio. We got to hear from him. But yesterday, really the first time in a nice gray suit with the burnt orange tie. Had a real clean look going yesterday. Very confident, but I thought very humble, and I also thought very authentic to what he's going to be as the head coach at Texas.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he came here with his wife who looked really classy, and I liked what, you know, she had
on. White. She had the icy white.
Man,
she had the icy white suit going yesterday.
Yeah, so real classy. I like that a lot. But it's just excitement of what he's brought down to the 40 acres, obviously, with his offense. And, you know, he's been a head coach before, so he understands that, you know, he's made mistakes in the past, and now he gets to, you know, really show what he could do with what he's done at Alabama and what he's going to bring down here to Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you saw on Monday night was an advertisement for his offense. It couldn't have been a better one. I said yesterday a lot that, you know, Chris Del Conte, the silence of Chris Del Conte for months after weeks, and then the months in wake of the Tom Herman situation, where it made it pretty obvious that relationship was strained and probably unfixable after the Eyes of Texas situation. But, you know, so Chris Del Conte took a lot of heat, I think rightfully, for, hey, what's the deal here? Can you explain it? But he was in an awkward situation. But I do think the triumvirate, who we got to hear from yesterday as well, Jay Hartzell, the new president, for a lot of even graduates of UT, I think that might be the first time you've got to see and hear from the president, who took over in July when Greg Fenves headed to Emory University. He came off well. And Kevin Eltife, the head of the Board of Regents, he also was the first person to speak yesterday. Those three, Chris Del Conte, Eltife, and Jay Hartzell, were the committee. They were the three that made this decision that Coach Sark was going to be the choice, and they all three said yesterday that it was interesting. They had a meeting, and they all agreed on Coach Sark pretty quickly, that this was the guy. And Chris Del Conte talked about his relationships with Coach Sark in the past when he was at Washington and USC. High opinion. But Monday night's performance was an advertisement for the offense, and getting him in place, making it official, allowing him to begin the recruiting process while coaching at Alabama allowed everyone to see that. And, you know, it's I don't know if it was coincidence, but the immediate dividend is a four-star wide receiver in the class of 2022 who was one of the several players that Coach Sark contacted by phone before the game. Said he also sent a tweet, a text, I should say, to a bunch of the other recruits, Zay, that were pretty simple. Said, "Watch this blank," and it was just he didn't write out the word SHIT, but it was the ampersands, and "Watch this blank," and then "Call you after," which, you know, confident, you know, get, you know, tune in, it's going to be a show. And of course, they had 35 points on the board by the half. They go on to the 52-24 blowout. They run up 621 yards, and especially if you're an offensive football player in the state of Texas, Zay. And this is now the head coach of the flagship university. It will get you excited I could stay in state and play in an offense like that under a coach that seems like a pretty dynamic guy.
Yeah, and when you look at guys like Mac Jones, who are three stars, you know, you're not really as concerned about recruiting as you once were, because development of the players, that's been a big deal here. So now you got a coach who clearly can do that because he's done that. So, yeah, I'm very confident in what Sark could do here.
Yeah, and so that commitment came in yesterday before even the press conference with Armani Winfield saying, "I want to be a part of that." And that, look, that's the fun stuff. That's the excitement, the all gas, no breaks thing, which is a pretty cool moniker, which kids can, you know, young players can latch on to. Everybody in the program can latch on to the all breaks, no gas, or all gas, no breaks moniker, the hashtag. That's going to be the mindset. But there, you know, there comes with concerns. We've seen this before. Tom Herman won the press conference. I think Charlie Strong won the press conference. I was at both. You know, the last guy to really win the press conference and then deliver was Mac Brown, and that was back in 1998. And Mac Brown certainly won the press conference. I remember being at that press conference 20-plus years ago, and you wanted to, this is a member of the media, you wanted to go practice right after Mac gave such a motivational, let's go get him talk. I do think Steve Sarkisian's press conference today hit a lot of those notes. I mean, it was upbeat, it was positive, but I think, again, he was authentic and he was genuine to who he's going to be. He's a guy that is big on building authentic personal relationships. He's, you know, you can hear him talking. One of the things that comes through clear, Zay, is he's been through some really high highs, and he was living life in the fast lane as in his 20s and into the 30s. And when you think about that, he's at USC. He's a quarterback, right? So he comes with, he's the quarterback. You know, he's the handsome, dapper, good-looking QB out of BYU. You know, he plays for the legendary Lavelle Edwards there. Norm Chow's his offensive coordinator. They have a great run. He's a really successful player there. But quickly, you know, he played a cup of coffee in the CFL, knew pretty quickly, kind of like Major Applewhite, right, that Texas, coaching's going to be my thing. I'm going to get right into coaching, which he did. And then when Norm Chow went to USC, Norm Chow, the legendary offensive coordinator for so long at BYU with Lavelle Edwards, well, Pete Carroll, when he got to the USC job, hired Norm Chow to come run his offense at USC. And, of course, having played quarterback for Norm at BYU, when he wanted to get back into coaching, he had a spot on that staff at USC. And obviously that turned into the USC teams we saw, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Lendale White, Dwayne, I mean, just rattle off the names. And they won two straight national championships and would have won a third if not for a guy named Vince Young in that 2005 Texas football team. And Steve Sarkisian talked about watching Vince Young run into the end zone at the end of that game on 4th-and-5, and Texas clinching the national championship, preventing the Trojans from winning their third straight. And he recalls telling his father that, you know, way back even then, that's the best job in America. Texas is the best job in college football for all the reasons I think Longhorn fans believe that and want that to be true. You know, the burnt orange and white, the legends that have come before it, the history, the pomp, the pageantry, everything comes with Texas football. It's a big brand. The Bevo, there's a lot there. And so you can see being even on the other side, when it's going good, you can be in awe of that. But obviously the last 12 years or 10 years has not gone great at all. It's been average to below average to mediocre. How do you get it back? So here comes Coach Sark. But to finish that point, you know, life in the fast lane. That's the great Eagles song, right? That he's 25, 26 years old, a growing coach. You know, USC is like the pro team of the West Coast when they're going as well. He's a part of that. He's the hot shot. He's on to the Oakland Raiders with Al Davis as a quarterback's coach in his early 30s. Al Davis actually offers him the head coaching job when he's 30 years old in the National Football League. Turns that down and ends up at Washington when he's 32. And, you know, by his own admittance, he was living life in the fast lane. He does have a battle that he fights and was fighting at the time with alcohol. And now it's a daily battle for him. But so when I hear him say authentic and authentic, genuine personal relationships, that is something you learn when it becomes, when you've got to turn the mirror on yourself. Bucky talks about this quite a lot, having been through that battle himself and been battling it to this day, 20 years later. It is. Once you have to look at that mirror and decide who you are, you know, Steve Sarkisian is quoted in the Brian Davis article that's on our website at hornfm.com from statesman.com that when he left to go to the Washington job from USC, Zay, to take the Washington job at 32 years old. And, you know, one of the things Pete Carroll, he said, give me some advice. And Pete Carroll said, just be who you are. Be yourself. Don't change. They'll know quick. Be yourself and stick to your guns. And it was then when Sark said, he said to himself, well, who am I? Who am I? What am I? And you can understand that at 32, you know, being a part of that wave. And now you got to be the leader. Now you got to be the guy. And again, he took 5 seasons at Washington, 4 bowls. That's where the overall record is not gaudy. It's not, you know, 10, 11 wins a year at Washington, but it was pretty good. And 4 straight bowl games after an 0-12 campaign preceded him. And here he is. Well, you know, from the high highs to the low lows, right? You get the USC job, 2 years there, and the alcohol had become a major problem. I mean, it was. You know, it was embarrassing. It was in the spotlight of, you know, showing up at donor events, having had, you know, with a lot of drinks in you, and showing up at practice, according to coaches, sometimes, you know, with alcohol on the breath. And those are the things that obviously derailed the run at USC, and it ended pretty ugly. And so now he's had to rebuild that. You know, that's now 6-7 years in the rearview mirror. He had to be humbled through that process, climb back into the coaching ladder, never knowing if he'd get another opportunity. I mean, you get the USC job. I mean, that's one of the 5 best jobs in America. You reach the mountaintop at a young age. Can you climb back to the top of the mountain becomes the question. And as he said yesterday, that wasn't a goal. The goal was not to – I wasn't even thinking about that. It was about me, myself, dealing with me, being the best version of myself each day, which then led to – you know, Alabama, which led to the Atlanta Falcons, back to Alabama, and now to here, where he's getting his third chance, and you could argue is back to the top of the mountain at one of the marquee programs in America, as he described it yesterday. And now it's about, you know, being yourself again, and now knowing yourself a lot better, I think it would be fair to say, for Steve Sarkisian and who he is, how he wants to lead this program. And that's when I say his theme was authentic. I think, you know, he authentically knows who he is now. He probably didn't when he was, when he was at Washington and USC and the battles he was having on a daily basis with himself. And now he does and understands that more clearly and now can lead a program. We'll see. Now that becomes the conversation. Nobody can doubt the X's and O's. Nobody can doubt what you saw at Alabama, the success there, the national championship. But, you know, he came in, it wasn't like Nick Saban was hurting when he got there. Nick Saban was winning championships before Steve Sarkisian. I think he'll be a championship coach but after, and that becomes the challenge of Steve Sarkisian. Can you build your own championship culture, championship-level program here at Texas? There's a ways to go. There's a lot of work to be done. There is talent here, but there are still holes to be filled. But for me, Zay, and you are the son of a coach. Your father's been the head basketball coach at Bowie for, 3 decades. You've grown up in a coach's house. You kind of, I know you read coaches a little differently. You speak the language of a coach, and you know he's got a challenge in front of him here. There's an opportunity because it's the facilities, the resources, the support he will get with the united front above him that we heard from yesterday. The opportunity's there to go get it, and you know, that becomes the excitement for Longhorn fans, but also tap the brakes on, hey, we've been here before, we've heard this before, he's got the challenge ahead of him now.
Yeah, and obviously you don't want to get too high. You know, he said it yesterday in the press conference. Now it's time to work. It's time to start from the bottom. You know, we're not going to turn into Alabama overnight. So, you know, like you said, just with his track record and everything that he's overcame, he is a better person and a better football coach because of it, and I think we're going to see that at the 40 Acres.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sure he's a better football coach, but I'm certain he's a better person, and he's a better leader of men. You know, and he's a better developer of young people, who, as Bucky has said, when Bucky gets here, can you know, pick that up. But once you've been there, you can relate to players. You know, when players are having some issues, players are having a rough go. You can genuinely meet with them and say, look, I've been there, bud. I've been there. It's been, I've seen that before. I've been a part of stuff like that before. It's humbling. And he can genuinely speak on that level, which, and again, he must have said it 5 times yesterday, 10 times, authentic, genuine relationships. He said that about with the boosters, the donors, his bosses. He said that about the players in the locker room, his coaching staff, recruits, families. And look, whether he meant to or not, to me, taking a 30,000-foot look down on Tom Herman's tenure at Texas, if I had to put a little sentence or a brief sentence on his biggest struggle, that was it. Authentic, genuine, personal relationships was Tom Herman's biggest problem. He knew football. He knew what he wanted. He understood what he wanted, but he couldn't lead people because his relationships with them were not authentic and genuine. That was his biggest issue. At Texas, in my opinion, and you know, whether it's with connecting with players, connecting with assistant coaches, and trusting those assistant coaches to do their jobs, and certainly came out with a house of fire on the recruiting trail. But over the course of recruiting cycles, the lack of genuine, authentic connections with high school football coaches, high school parents, recruits, that the recruiting dried up for that reason as well. And you know, now that Tom Herman has been let go and he's got a big buyout check to go with it, hopefully he can take the same path of Steve Sarkisian and find his ability to connect with people on a genuine and real way. Because again, that whatever you think of the game, the time management, the in-game coaching, everything that went on with Tom Herman for 4 years. To me, that was the single biggest issue he had at every level, making and connecting with people on a genuine, real level. And Steve Sarkisian made that his theme yesterday, which I think was a breath of fresh air for a lot of people certainly listening. And then in that room, Chris Del Conte, Jay Hartzell, the team. And it was cool to see Colt McCoy and Vince Young and Michael Huff showed up to watch and be a part of that yesterday. That was good to see. Very limited people allowed in the COVID world we live in, but that was kind of cool. All right, coming back, those are our thoughts. Isaiah Collier, Bucky will be here coming up. He's making an airport run and will be showing up here in the 7 o'clock hour at some point. Also, our friend Quan Cosby is going to jump on from the Longhorn IMG Radio Network, a lifetime Longhorn. He'll jump in and get a few of his thoughts on what he heard from Coach Sark yesterday, and we'll hear from Coach Sark coming next. His immediate sit-down with Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns, coming back on B&E. Plus the Craig Way Report, plus the other top stories of a Wednesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, nice work, Zay. I see what you did there. Took my little life in the fast lane conversation of last segment and brought that back. Nice. On a Wednesday, cold Wednesday, going to be a beautiful one, though. 63 degrees, sunny. Going to be a good one. There's a classic from the Eagles, but... taking your thoughts on Steve Sarkisian, it'll obviously be the conversation of the morning after the news conference yesterday. You heard live here on the Horn. We'll hear some highlights if you missed some of them. And then build some conversations around some of his thoughts, or all of his thoughts coming out of that. We'll talk to Quan Cosby, good friend of the program, lifetime Longhorn, member of the radio broadcast, of course, every game day with the Longhorn IMG Radio Network, but always opinionated. And he certainly was front and center for the news conference yesterday because everyone is hoping this works, right? Everyone that roots for Texas football. We are the flagship university radio station. I don't say we root for it, but certainly business is better when Texas is good at football and other sports. That's something we root for. But, you know, as you heard through the fall, if things aren't going great, we will say our opinions on that. And, that's where Texas has been. Can't sugarcoat things of that nature. You've got to call them like you see them, and they weren't working and heading in a good direction with Tom Herman. I think that's fair to say. Got a text on this from a good friend who's a Longhorn graduate who says, when we signed Herman and he was the top coaching prospect and beat out LSU, I was pretty excited, then saw the initial press conference and thought, oh no, this is not good. Kind of a meathead, he said. Then with the Sark, I was initially disappointed because possibly getting Urban Meyer, Matt Campbell, a big name, Brian Kelly. Then the first interview followed by yesterday's press conference, and I'm now very excited about him as our coach. I agree, E. It reminds me of Mac's first press conference and that shades of that. There was a lot of unifying messages, There was a lot of energy, a lot of positivity, but it came from a humble, genuine place, I felt like. And, you know, reading that text, it does remind me of Tom Herman, that, you know, Tom Herman, there's a parallel there to when Steve Sarkisian got the USC job. And he's talked about that over the last 10 days since getting back to the top and you know, as a head coach, the life in the fast lane, that he was living that at USC and as a young coach. And I think you could argue that was kind of Tom Herman's, one of his issues, in addition to the relationship building and being genuine, was that you know, he was the hot commodity. Won a national championship at Ohio State with Urban Meyer. He was the hot assistant, went to Houston. Things came pretty easy there because he took over a program that was built on a really solid foundation by Tony Levine. And remember, that Houston program he inherited won a bowl game, won eight games the year before he got there. But Tillman Fertitta, the billionaire, you know, booster down at Houston, wanted a flashy name and a bigger name, and so went and got Tom Herman, and things went good for him, really good there. You know, went 13-1 the first year, and you know, he was the hot name, obviously. And when he got to Texas, I think that his issues with relationships and who he was and all that caught up to him, because when things got rough and things got tough and there were tough issues, I don't know that he didn't handle it as well as it needed to be, and that's why there's a change being made. Now Steve Sarkisian comes in having been in those same exact shoes as a young coach, the hot commodity, the flashy new thing, and Sarkisian comes in, I think, with a more humble nature, but also he still's got that flashy offense, man. Sure was fun to watch on Monday night and throughout the course of the season for Alabama. So there's a lot to like there. I think there's more substance to go with the offensive mind and the X's and O's. Let's hear from Coach Sark on we're going to hear from him throughout the morning, obviously, but on what he wants the program to be, his vision for the program. That's important, right? Where do you start here? You're coming into Texas. It's got all the traditions, 12 years of mediocrity at this point since Mack Brown had it at the top. What does he want this program to be for the fans, for the student-athletes, and for everyone watching?
I do know this. You know, I think one thing when you talk about Texas and I think of the University of Texas is this is not something you can do alone. We need a unified Longhorn Nation. It's going to take all of us collectively working in the same direction to achieve the goals that clearly we want to achieve. You know, the energy and excitement for our program right now, I think, is one that is directly effective to what's happening in recruiting. From the moment I got hired up until last night after the game and getting a commitment to the program already from an in-state player, I mean, that just tells you about, I think, where the excitement of Longhorn football is right now. And ultimately, our goal is to build a brand of football that everybody's proud of, that people can turn on games on TV, that come to DKR Memorial Stadium and say, that's my football team, and that's something I'm proud of, and I'm proud of the way they play, that they do things the right way, that they have a really good time doing it, that they're enjoying what they're getting to do, and ultimately competing for championships.
All right. Well, that's the goal, right? Some program to be proud of. Fun to watch on Saturdays, he said. When you flip it on, his main vision is that fans love watching their team play football. And that really hasn't been the case. You know, frustrating would be the word you'd use with the last 10 years of watching Texas play football. Can he get it there becomes the question with Steve Sarkisian. Let's hear Coach Sark on filling out his coaching staff. I mean, you know, that obviously is the number one priority now. We've heard a lot of names. It does appear Stan Drayton and Andre Coleman will remain on the staff. Coleman, in whatever capacity, he's the wide receivers coach. And I should mention that we told you at the top of the hour in the headlines that the Louisville, Texas wide receiver Armani Winfield, who committed to Texas yesterday, the four-star wide receiver, one of the top receivers in the state, in addition to, you know, Coach Sark contacting him before the national title game on Monday night, he also has cited his relationship with Andre Coleman, that he thinks Andre Coleman has done a great job, and that put him over the top with programs like Ohio State and Alabama. So that's good. And Andre Coleman looks like he's going to stay. Stan Drayton, and Chris Ash is going to have a sit down face to face with Steve Sarkisian this week. Staying with Oscar Giles, he will have that same opportunity. But here's Coach Sark on the building of a coaching staff.
You know, I think, generally speaking, anytime there's a coaching change, there's mixed emotions, right, for players on a roster. Some feel one way, some feel another way. And I think my job coming in now as a new head coach is to make sure we're assembling a staff that has the best interests of our players at heart, whether that's from a developmental piece, from a relationship piece, whatever those things are. And we'll clearly convey that to the players of why we did what we did with our staff and the direction that we went in. It is truly for the betterment of them, at least in our opinion. And now those relationships that are needed, that need to get built between coaches and players, they'll get built. And some of which will coaches from the previous staff will be on the staff, some of which will be coaches from the outside coming in. So I think assembling a staff is like forming a jigsaw puzzle. And there's intricate pieces that need to get put in place when you start thinking about recruiting, when you start thinking about development of players, when you start thinking about calling plays on game day. There's a lot that goes into it. When you start thinking about the culture you're trying to build in your building, there's a lot that goes into it. And you know, I think our players will understand that over time, but I recognize when some players want to keep a coach, there are mixed emotions that go into this thing. And so it's our job when we do assemble our staff and get everything in place to present these guys in the best light. And then it's everybody's job to be open-minded, to develop the relationships needed to grow.
There you go, Steve Sarkisian. We'll get Quan Cosby's thoughts coming up before the top of the hour. Craig Way will have more in his Craig Way report, because Craig had the first sit-down interview with Coach Sark afterwards. It says, I'm a Texas Dragon graduate, guys, myself. This is the most optimistic I have felt since Mac Brown left. He has a real humble, honest, and direct attitude and brings a new sense of positivity to the Longhorn program. Our man, Police Chief Cantu, who's a P1 listener of the program, says, hell, I watched Charlie Strong too. He, Tom Herman as well, and Sark. Charlie was just wrong for the job. Tom Herman seemed and proved to be that he was arrogant. And damn, Sark got me looking for my high school shoulder pads to go grab out of the attic and go play some football. So, again, the genuine excitement for Steve Sarkisian is certainly there. But there's also issues you have to deal with, right? One thing I would say about Texas, and we all know, I've compared it to being on your fourth marriage, right, in the last 10 years. And they are. They're their fourth head coach in 10 years. And at some point, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, well, maybe the ladies aren't the problem, or lady, if it's a lady on her fourth marriage, we're looking at the guy. Maybe it's not her all the time. Maybe I got to look at myself. Texas has to look at themselves and what is their role in these issues. Obviously, the Charlie Strong thing was a mess from the jump. Tom Herman, with his lack of ability to connect with people, you know, he wasn't hired by this current power structure at Texas. He wasn't hired by Chris Del Conte or Jay Hartzell or Kevin Elteif. And obviously, he got at odds with all of those people. But there are still issues. And look, whether people want it to be or not, the Eyes of Texas story is still a big one. And I'll give you an example in a minute. But let's hear what Steve Sarkisian said yesterday when asked about the singing of the Eyes of Texas, the school song. He was pretty adamant about his belief on it.
Well, I know this much. The Eyes of Texas is our school song. And, you know, we support that song. We're going to sing that song. We're going to sing it proudly. I think when I come into the fold, I think any talks that need to have, whether it's about the Eyes of Texas or any other issues that come up, I think it's having the discussions. We can't put our head in the sand and act like things aren't happening. We have to really have those discussions with them. And educate our players to make sure that we're all on the same page and understanding that. I think sometimes there are tough discussions that need to happen. Without speaking too candidly, we're living in a country right now where there's some turmoil going on. But as long as we can have those discussions and be on the same page, we can do that. As it pertains to the Eyes of Texas, man, that's our song, and we're fired up to sing it.
Fired up to sing it. And look, that's I think he was briefed on this. I'm sure he was briefed on this from the president. Because remember, the president has a council that's been put together. And I'd say this for Coach Sark. I mean, the president's working on this. This thing came last summer. Tom Herman and Chris Del Conte were forced into dealing with it in the real time. And they're trying to take a pretty patient push through this and really listen to everybody and a real deliberate way of going about this. And Jay Hartzell, the president of the school, is leading that. This is a campus issue. It's not just a football team issue. We know this, right? The band refuses to play it. And the dean of the music school is backing the band that they don't have to play it. So this is a presidential level, this, you know, situation that the football team and all the coaches at Texas and the athletic department are just, you know, part of. But here's the thing, right? I know on the ground here in Austin and throughout Texas, people want to talk football, ball, how we're getting this team back. But if you do a simple Google search and write in the words Steve Sarkisian, can I give you the headlines across the country? New Texas coach Steve Sarkisian on the Eyes of Texas. Players will sing the song. USA Today today. New coach Longhorns will proudly sing controversial school song. That's the story. And I know here goes the media, right? And that's where that is. But that's, and I know there are players in that locker room that, still want to have those conversations. There are former players who still want to have those conversations about the eyes of Texas. But that was Steve Sarkisian's answer. It's something that's still there. But I'm not saying if I'm Steve Sarkisian, I'm punting this. But you know, this is what Jay Hartzell was supposed to be doing through the fall with the committee of all branches of the university, all tentacles of the university together to try to form a common agreement on how to move forward with the eyes of Texas. So, unfortunately, that still is a conversation that's out there. And, hey, how about this? Does he want to play the Texas A&M game? Texas A&M, you got to ask these obligatory first questions. Hey, coach, what do you think about the eyes of Texas? Hey, coach, what do you think about playing Texas A&M, even though he has no power to make that happen?
I would love to play that game. I think it'd be great for the state of Texas. Would look forward to it.
There you go. Okay, simple. Thanks, Coach. Yeah, anytime, any place. And that, I will say Tom Herman had that same belief. I think Jimbo Fisher has the same belief at Texas A&M, but that's a kind of like in my mind the eyes of Texas situation. That's a decision that's above their pay grade. Well, not pay grade because they're the highest paid person on the campus. It's above their it's above them as far as whether Texas will play Texas A&M. There's Steve Sarkisian. We'll have more with Craig Way here coming up in the Craig Way Report. Quan Cosby jumps in and jumps on. We'll hit some other stories that we've missed, including how about Baylor having their eighth game this year already postponed because of COVID. And as if you didn't know, James Harden not happy down in Houston. We'll get some of that and divisional playoff weekend on tap in the NFL. First, Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, so really like this B&E fact of the day we're going to have for you coming up. You olds, as they say. I don't know. I'm one of you. I'm 48 now. Bucky is considered an old. Jurassic Monty Williams, who is a fill-in host from time to time for us, pre-COVID. But this is a good one. Because I wondered this before I went and looked for it, but... See if you can come up with the answer to our B&E fact of the day. It'll be a challenging one, but one I think some of you will get. Also, the interview, the conversation with Quan Cosby coming up. Always eager to hear the thoughts of Quan, who, of course, you hear on the IMG Radio Network, but he's works within the university and passionately bleeds burnt orange and wants this thing to turn. But he's been on the sidelines, you know, had the best view in the house the last 6 or 7 years watching Texas play football, and it has not been up to the level. There was hope that Mack Brown could get it back there, but of course 2013 that came to an end with a pretty bitter divorce and breakup. Charlie Strong came in under really, really difficult circumstances, and it just wasn't a good fit. And now Tom Herman, in 4 years, looked like he was taking it up, but then it dips back the other way and kind of falling apart in all phases. As I've said, based on his lack of ability to build genuine, really authentic relationships with people. And I think that caught up with him near the end. Well, it's funny, when Tom Herman was hired, I think the conversation was is because he worked for Mack Brown as a graduate assistant, right? And they're looking for the next Mack Brown and, bring in the right coach, the right fit, the BBs in the box, all of that. And, the question for Tom Herman was, because he comes in with kind of the John Makovic, Mensa, high IQ, super smart guy, offensive mind. We'll all remember the Dave Campbell's Texas football cover with the mastermind, cover of Tom Herman drawn up on the grease board. But can you combine that with the Mack Brown, aw shucks, genuine, humble, grandpa figure or dad figure that everyone loves? And, obviously Tom was more John Makovic in that big picture, right? He was more of just the football, and the connection just never hit with really any group that he needed to, and so now you here comes Steve Sarkisian who takes over. And the kind of the bumper sticker for me on this is Charlie Strong was humble. He was a good person. He was great to be around, Charlie Strong, but I think lacked the confidence and the vision that it was going to take to run this program, and maybe just the way it started for him replacing Mack Brown. The lack of support from above, it just led to just a mess. And he did not have the alpha, confident, this is my program, I'm taking it in this direction. And that became his failing. And evidence of that, he had, three different coaching staffs in 3 years. I mean, three different offensive coordinators. He was never true to what you know, he wanted to be as a coach, because I don't know that he knew what he wanted the Texas offense to be. And that's, so he cycled through, and it just was not, it was not working. And Tom Herman, you know, versus that was, you know, confidence was not a problem. Let's say that. Confidence, not a problem. Vision for the program, not a problem. But the humble side of it, the humility side of it, lacked in a big way, which led to the lack of connection, and the ego got in the way a lot, I think. And then and this is, here comes Steve Sarkisian. Is he the right mix of, you know, vision, coach, humble, genuine, authentic, all those things that, that it's going to take? And I'll say this, it's not just the coach. This is another reason I think Texas fans can be excited just based on the history books. It does seem like a united front. It does feel like, hearing from Chris Del Conte yesterday, hearing from Jay Hartzell, and those gentlemen, it appears, will be here for the long haul. With Kevin Elteif atop the Board of Regents, he was a big piece in this and instrumental in this. Those gentlemen do feel like they're on board, and you know, obviously, you know, Steve Sarkisian needs to get with the donors, and he made that very clear. I will say this for Coach Sark, he understands that USC, if there's another program that's got a lot of heavy donors and big money that want to be a part of the program and feel like they're included, USC is a great example. USC is as big as it gets in there, and a lot of wealthy donors. Texas obviously has, you know, billionaires across the board, and yeah, you have to connect with them as well, and your players and your coaches. It is a big job, but it does feel like there's a united front above him, and can he paint the united front below him becomes a question we will all follow, and hope this is the right choice. So far, a lot of optimism from Longhorn fans. No optimism down in Houston, Isaiah Collier. The James Harden story took another turn last night. I know it turns a lot of people's stomach, including mine, with James Harden. By the way, he's clearly overweight. The guy is clearly out of shape. I mean, I don't watch a lot of NBA basketball until it matters, right? I watch more college basketball than that right now with Texas, but you just flip on James Harden, and he's 20 pounds overweight, Zay. I mean, he's am I wrong?
He's a bit thick.
He's not missing any meals, bro. I mean, I've seen the, you know, you see him when he was in the bubble in Orlando. This is only a 6-month decline or gain of weight. We just saw him in July. This dude's huge. Yeah. Well, he's not huge, but he wears that tight uniform. He's put on, so obvious to me, he's not putting in the time it takes. He's disgruntled, which I think he's missing the big picture. That doesn't help when it's time to be traded, right? That you're not in good shape. You don't look like you're buying in. It don't look like you're ready to go. That's a problem if you want to be traded. But then last night after the game, they lost to the Lakers for the second straight game. Can we hear James Harden? I won't have to read it to you. I'll just play it for you. They lost to the Lakers. They're playing these back-to-back games now in the NBA because of COVID. So they played the Lakers on Sunday. They played them again last night. Lakers won both by 20 pretty easily. And James Harden had this to say afterwards.
Are you surprised that y'all never made a run at all? In this one?
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. They just, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive. Veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Which I don't think it can be fixed. Obviously, he wants out, and obviously, he's not bought into new head coach Steve Silas. And, well, James, you're a big part of why it's where it's at, Zay. I want your thoughts on this when we come back. Then we'll talk to Quan Cosby. But we're just not good enough. Chemistry, talent, everything. Well, you're out of shape. You didn't show up for camp. You had COVID issues because you went to a bunch of strip clubs. John Wall is now your running mate because Russell Westbrook didn't want to play with you. And how about this quote from John Wall after what you just heard James Harden say? He said, quote, "I think it's been a little rocky. Can't lie about that. I don't think, though, it's been the best it could be, to be honest. That's all I can really say." Well, I'll speculate on that. Yeah, well, it could be better if James Harden were in shape and buying in and trying to get to know this new coach and this new roster. I don't think it's the best it could be, but to be honest, I don't think it's the best it could be, but it could be better. Essentially is what he said. Well, yeah, because James wants to be traded. But, yeah, welcome to the drama of the NBA. Also, we've got drama in the NFL. We've got coaching carousels at the head coach, assistant coach, and coordinator levels. We'll get to that. But first, your B&E fact of the day.
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Doug Peterson, Philadelphia Eagles, second coach to be fired within 3 years of winning the Super Bowl. Who was the other? There you go. Second to be fired within 3 years of winning a championship. Who was the other NFL coach that falls under that umbrella? Answer next.